How are we doing, everybody? This is AJ Torres, calling Trace Garcia of Undrafted Sports down in the corner. Today we got CC Chris Correa back. Now, last time we had you on the show, we rambled about the pain between the Red Sox and Yankees, good times and bad. And today we just talked trade deadline. Now, this, I think, tell me, CC, is this the best trade deadline we've had since 2015 when we had David Price dealt to the Blue Jays?
I think it's better than that. I mean, we've had like
Much better, but the most hype.
Yeah, so many more teams involved, and like
absolutely
even the teams that even weren't like top contenders, they still made like pretty big trades, giving up pretty big prospects. So
yeah, like even the teams that weren't in it, they gave up. They just went in and said, "Let's do this."
Exactly.
So let's just begin from last night. Kyle Schwarber, the Schwarb, goes to the Red Sox.
Yeah.
I think now, it was my only concern is the long porch, but you love this, don't you?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, he brings power. He's a lefty bat, and he's versatile on the field. He could be anywhere. Like, you could put him in left. I don't know if they want to put him in right, but with left, you got the Green Monster at Fenway.
You know,
it takes like a week. It takes a week to get used to. I mean, we've had everybody play out there, whether it be Hamlin. I think even
jeez.
Yeah, everybody's played and left.
Like, I mean, May Ramirez, they say he was a bad defender late in his career, but they said, hey, if Manny could do it, anybody could do it.
Yeah.
But then that logic went to Hanley Ramirez, and that was a failed experiment. I think Kyle Schwarber is going to be a first baseman. I just don't know if you want to go tax his legs by any means. And if anything, I mean, I know you probably don't want to have JD Martinez, out and left once in a while, save him.
I honestly don't mind it because when he has played out there, he's played good. And not just at Fenway with the short left field, which he's had a lot of practice with. We saw him in Oakland throw a guy out, make some awesome plays. I think in Atlanta, he made a diving catch out there. It's just the fact that he hasn't played that out there much often, people forget that, you know, when he was in Houston back in the day and even like half his tenure in Detroit, he was an outfielder.
So, yes, and he was a damn good outfielder.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, he's not a gold glover, but I mean, he could hold his own. And I think people just don't give him the credit he deserves.
Well, yeah, I mean, that you look at him now and you say, hey, it's JD, the best DH in baseball right now. Yeah. Arguable with Nelson Cruz, of course, and right. Somehow that guy is aging like wine we've never heard of.
Yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous. And the reason why some people are like, who would want to trade for him? Who would do this? Well, in the sense of this guy being like Tom Brady, outside of Tom Brady with PEDs, this guy's in his early 40s and is just smoking the baseball, juice ball or not.
Yeah. And like, I have seen people, you brought up PEDs, you know, he did get caught at one point in his career. But, you know, sometimes you just got to give a guy credit. He has play discipline. He's got raw power, not just power induced by PEDs. And he knows how to be patient in the box. So, I mean, he's a veteran, like a true veteran. So, yeah, whether you hate the guy or love the guy, you can't deny the fact that he's a good power hitter and anybody could use him. Like, if the Reds could have gotten him, I would have loved him. But the Rays got him.
Absolutely. And bring on the JD. As a Yankee fan, bring on the JD experience. All right. Next trade. We got Padres get Daniel Hudson from the Nationals. Now, I know what we're thinking because of everything that was linked to last night with Scherzer and Trey Turner. You're thinking disappointment. But at the end of the day, an ERA of 2.20 across 32 plus innings as a setup man, less a whip of less than one, it's 0.92. Like, I mean, I understand what could have happened. They did need a starting pitcher, but bullpen, something like that. I mean, yeah, you probably worth to do. This was a great trade.
Yeah, I think it was a good trade too. I think the Padres trade that confused me more was Adam Frazier, considering they have infielders. And, like, he is more versatile than some of the infielders they have, kind of like Kim, Hosmer. You could technically put him in the outfield. I know Profar plays everywhere. But yeah, they missed out on Scherzer. That's the main thing. Daniel Hudson, like, if you're going to miss out on Scherzer and make a trade that I don't think makes the most sense for your team, then Daniel Hudson's a good consolation prize. And I feel like that's disrespectful to call him. I feel like it's disrespectful to call him a consolation prize.
Absolutely.
But hey, they have their sights on Gallo. They have their sights on Scherzer, maybe even Turner. But hey, you know, Daniel Hudson, that's where they actually needed help, the bullpen. So everybody always needs pitching. So, you know, congrats to them.
My only thought is that I kind of said this is because if you look at the infield, right, you could say, oh, well, Kim's not as good as he should be. Well, you gave him a 5-year contract. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Exactly.
And on top of that, right, it's like you gave him a 5-year contract. Then you get Frazier. And then they're like, Matt told me this. He goes, well, if we put C.J. Abrams in left field, and I'm like, Matt, what is with – I don't understand if this is A.J. Preller logic, Tingler logic, whatever. What is your fetish with putting a middle infielder out in the outfield? And mind you, if you look at Petco Field, the left field is huge.
Exactly.
Why do you want to put a second baseman in left field permanently? Not for a game, not for a doubleheader, nothing. You want to put him there permanently every day? Come on, man.
Yeah.
That's dumb. That's when you got to trade, even though it's your top chip in your farm system, that's when you have to deal him for something. Because if he doesn't fit the team, what are you going to do?
Exactly. Although Will Myers plays out there, I do give him credit. You know, he's a first baseman turned outfielder. Going back to the first base position, Eric Hosmer, I think that was a big part of their plan. They thought they could unload him and have, like, somebody pay a portion of that contract. It didn't happen. I know, like, a couple of beat writers, like, they reported that was the Padres' plan. They offered it to teams, and teams just weren't having it. So,
no,
I don't know if this – any either way you look at it, this trade deadline was a success for the Dodgers because they got better. But the thing is, they did not do exactly what they intended to do when they went out there. So, you know,
the problem I have with the Dodgers is you got Clayton Kershaw on the injured list, Trevor Bauer on the commissioner-exempt list. And as much as many people hate to say it, right, a lot of – and now, mind you, this is goes to a lot of the Dodger fans. Some of them just don't know baseball. But they were pissed that David Price was in the starting rotation. And I'm like, the disrespect. So you want the most paid relief pitcher in all of history?
Yeah.
A guy that should be in the rotation as a mill relief pitcher for $30 million a year? That's what you want?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. He could hold his own as a starter. He even held his own as 2019, although he didn't play in 2020. In terms of the Dodgers, they got Scherzer. They got Turner. That tells me they're not planning on signing Corey Seager, and that could be for a variety of reasons. He's going to be expensive, and he gets hurt a lot. So when he is healthy, he's a dang good player, probably one of the best shortstops in the league. So they're going to bank on Turner. I believe Turner has an option, or is it a mutual team option, something of that nature?
No, I think it would be I think it's still in that rookie deal, so I do think he would be a free agent after this year.
Got it.
It's after this year, he's got one more year. That's why the price was so high, and then he hits free agency.
Yeah, so knowing that, you could assume Seager's gone. They could try to keep Turner. They're probably not going to re-sign Scherzer. With the money they save with Seager and Scherzer, they could sign somebody else if they really need to for the rotation. Who knows what happens with Bauer? Maybe they could save money there.
Problem being is a Scott Boras client. He's going to have a hard time with because of his age, but I think he's most likely going to look for. It's probably going to be $30 million again since he hasn't really fallen off. Even when he's got hurt, he's been very consistent. If he looked for a similar deal as Trevor Bauer, like a 3 years, $100 million, it wouldn't surprise me at all. It's just the problem also being with any Boras client is if you try to extend him in spring training, it's going to be very difficult. He's going to want to push. Mm-hmm. And if you're trying to do it towards the trade deadline, I've said this before. If you could extend a guy – under Scott Boras at the trade deadline, you might as well try to walk on water.
Yeah, exactly. And, so the Dodgers did what they did. And yeah, Padres and the Dodgers are the big spenders in that division. And you know, you had the Giants spending a little bit too.
All right. We got the Blue Jays with Jose Berrios. So we got a couple prospect package. Berrios is 27 and has next year on a deal.
Yep. This is somebody I really wanted the Red Sox to go after. But knowing now what the Twins got to get rid of him, I mean, I'm glad the Red Sox didn't do that. Because Austin Martin, top prospect, high on everybody's list. And giving up, was it Simeon Woods? Oh, I forgot his name. He's playing for Team USA Olympic ball right now. That's a big haul. And so, you know, the Blue Jays, they're a couple games out of the division. I feel like they needed a lot more to bolster their rotation than just Jose Berrios. Although you do have him next year, there are rumors they wanted to get rid of Marcus Semien to free up some money. So maybe if they didn't contend this year, they could make a run at another starting pitcher this offseason to contend next year. But Jose Berrios is a gamer. You know, I don't know a single person who doesn't like Jose Berrios. If you follow him on social media, everything, he's an amazing human, awesome family man. And like I said, a dang good pitcher. That dude has command. He hasn't been at his best.
The only thing people didn't like about him was the price originally. That's really it.
Yeah, that's the only bad thing to say about
Jose Berrios. And that's nothing on him.
Yeah. And so, you know, the last 2 years hasn't been his peak, but you know what he's capable of, and he will always give you a chance to win. And that's he's a top front of the rotation guy, and like, who wouldn't want that? It's just for that price, you can see why a lot of other teams just steered away. There are a lot more teams heavily interested, and then before you knew it, nobody was except for, you know, Toronto.
Yep. So the next one I have, I'm going to just go with a couple of Braves moves. Now, they went outfield heavy, and we did not expect this much out of them. I'm just going to go with the earlier ones. We have Eddie Rosario for Pablo Sandoval, which,
you know,
I mean, are they pitch hidden in the American League? Like, what are they doing?
Well,
if we go by Eddie Rosario, if we go by Adam Duvall, and then we got Jorge Soler. That is an outfield core. Listen, I know Ronald Acuna Jr. is hurt, but if you look at all those guys right there, and who knows where Jack Peterson fits with all this, you got your pinch hitters, you got your outfield depth, everything. And on top of that, they got Richard Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. The fact that they got Rich Rod, I actually thought Boston was going to get him.
I initially didn't think Boston would get him, but I thought there would be a bidding war between a lot of other teams. I was kind of surprised that as we neared the deadline today, there was like nothing you could hear about Richard Rodriguez. As for Pablo Sandoval, the Indians released him immediately. I don't know if you saw that. You know, Adam Duvall, he makes his return to Atlanta, has a lot of success there in the past, particularly last year. Jorge Soler, pure power. You know, they got Jock Peterson too. Like I said with the Red Sox on the live stream we did earlier, leading up to the deadline, it's a good problem to have. You have a lot of power from both sides of the plate, and you figure it out when you need to figure it out. You know, you can look at lefty-righty matchups, do all that, but it's a good problem to have.
Absolutely. An amazing problem to have. So, let's see. Here's a team where I was wondering what they're going to do. This is a team that I think is steamrolling their division, but they got a little bit of a team that's right behind them. We got Daniel Norris going to the Brewers from the Tigers just for one pitching prospect. I think that one's uneventful. We'll move on. The Phillies, as I mentioned before, the starting rotation I think is solid. You got Zach Wheeler in there. That's on top of that thing. I mean, the problem being is, right, that bullpen, Joe Girardi, that's his strength, and he's done everything you can, rest, switching roles. And ever since he's got there, it hasn't been his fault. This is the worst bullpen probably in history. This bullpen seems to, you look at the guy's ERA, and these are decent names that have been, that have played well on other teams.
Yeah.
But yet somehow, when the starter, you know, has to hand the ball over, he takes a breath, watches on the bench, and he watches these relief pitchers that have ERAs of 6, 7, and 8 blow it. It's disgraceful.
So the Phillies, I mentioned earlier in one of my tweets, I thought they reached on him. You know, they got Kyle Gibson. They got Freddie Galvis back.
And they got Ian Kennedy, yes.
Ian Kennedy. But I think they did give up a little too much for those guys. Especially, like, that's not enough to save that bullpen, I think. I think you needed one or two more guys. And there were got more guys out there that ended up not getting dealt. So I think they could have done a little more. I don't really see where Galvis fits in. I know you could fit him, like, in the infield somewhere. But I don't know. I think – I just don't think that their moves were enough to, like, put them over the hump to catch the Braves, especially after what the Braves did. The Mets getting Javi Baez.
I was going to get into that one next.
Well, let's get into that one next because that one's – I think that's a solid deal.
So – I was actually very surprised about this one. And it comes down to this. Robinson Cano, he's off the payroll this year because of his suspension.
Uh-huh.
But my thought was you got to keep Jeff McNeil at second base or you're going to have to cut ties with Cano and just pay the contract.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to re-sign Javi Baez, which is on the table because this is a new regime.
Mm-hmm.
If you have Javi Baez and Francisco Lindor as that infield, number one, it's going to cost over $500 million, probably like $550 million.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely ridiculous for a duo. But I think Cano just kind of cuts the strings there. I mean, where are you going to put Baez? I think they needed it. The only problem is they're going to have somebody discipline him. That's where I'm going from there.
Where I'm going from there, I'm taking a slightly different take on this. Javier Baez can't play second base. He said the only scenario where he'd want to play second base is when he's with Francisco Lindor. They played together on Team Puerto Rico.
I understand all that.
And I think Jeff McNeil, it's not that big of an issue if you put him in the outfield. I feel like a lot of his injuries have been just him just playing super hard. You can't really, you know, get on a guy for his playing hard. Look at Pedroia. He got injured playing hard. You look at a bunch of other guys around the league. They hurt because they play just all out every single play. It's a blessing and a curse. But I think you make it work. And I think with him and Lindor up the middle, it just boosts the mojo. You know, Lindor is usually a second-half guy anyway. He's getting more barrels on the ball. Same thing with Pete Alonso. He's getting going again. I just think – I mean, I like the deal. And for the Cubs side, you got what was his name, the prospect? I know it was PCA. Pete Crow Armstrong. I mean, that's a heck of a haul. I think both sides win pretty much. And as for Cano, I think you deal with him when that time comes.
All right, that's understandable. And another thing that gives Mets fans a lot of hope is there was a Chris Bryant trade being discussed, except the big piece that every single Met fan seemed to agree upon is if J.D. Davis has to be involved in this trade, I'm not interested. So you got an upgrade in the infield as a rental. You didn't give up everything, and you have J.D. Davis. So that's a win.
Yeah, and, you know, if they would have gone Bryant, maybe they would have put him in the outfield, which probably the Giants are going to do once Evan Longoria comes back. And, you know, I know Dom Smith was in some trade rumors. Who knows if they would have moved him? I mean, I think they'd rather move him than J.D. Davis because they're so high on him. But like I said, I think both teams win right now.
All right. Less uneventful one, but this is just including the Nationals blowing everything up. Although I'm excited for guys like Keyboom and Bell still being there to give solid chance. We got Josh Harrison and Yan Gomes going to Oakland.
I mean, Oakland gave up three prospects and they weren't the best of prospects. If you know, if you've watched Oakland baseball, which I have over here in the Bay Area quite some time, you know, they love moving guys around. They love, you know, giving guys off days, playing with the sabermetrics, playing with the matchups. I think it helps them, you know. Yan Gomes, you've seen Sean Murphy and who's the other ace catcher? They look so similar. You know, they haven't produced as much. And a veteran guy like Yan Gomes, you could use that, especially if you know, if you want to carry that young rotation. You know, people only think about the bats when it comes to, like, these position player trades. You know, that defense and that, you know, that play calling, you know, balls and strikes, you know, that's huge. That's a huge pickup, I think. It's super underrated. Like you said, it's not nothing that will be too flashy, but I think it does help. And, you know, Josh Harrison, he's one of those guys you could move around the infield, and it could help. You know, Mitch Moreland hasn't produced like they thought he would. So, you know, give Harrison a chance around there.
All right. To mix things up, let's go to the Cardinals. Now, this is a Brewers division, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So they acquired two starting pitchers, John Lester for an outfield prospect, Lane Thomas. Now, I understand that this things can be better, but this isn't actually that bad. What I don't understand is they got Jay Happ and one that for two pitching prospects, one of them being John Gant. And I think that this is Jay Happ's last year. I think after this year, it's it for him. It's going to be hanging up the cleats. So I think that this is not significant enough to compete with the Brewers in the division. The Brewers, I think, made their acquisition early with Willy Adames. And they're one of those teams where it's just like, as far as offensively goes, it seems like, hey, man, let me just make this tiny tweak to your swing, get comfortable, and what do you know? It works. The same thing might happen to Rowdy Tellez once he gets his timing right.
Yeah. You know, I love John Lester. He was awesome in Boston. Absolutely. I watched a lot of him in Oakland, even with the Cubs, helping him win that World Series. I think that, you know, who did they give up for Lester? I know it was
for
one.
Lester, they gave up Lane Thomas.
Lane Thomas. See, although Lester is old, he's got a lot of innings on that arm. You know, Lane Thomas, that's somebody I'm not too high on. It's like, I feel like he could have gone somebody a little better for like a veteran prospect, a veteran pitcher, top of the line pitcher who's pitched in the postseason, has that experience. So I don't know. But like you said, I think Jay Happ, that's the one where people are like really confused because, you know, a lot of people are also high on Gant. He's supposed to be a pretty good pitcher in the major leagues once he gets here.
Yes, I found that very odd, especially it's like, listen, that division has been Brewer dominant for the past month and a half, and it's not even close. Yeah. If you look at their offseason where the Cardinals were outside of Arenado, how have they done in the offseason? I would say not great. If you take out Arenado, it's uneventful. You have Goldschmidt on that roster. You got Arenado on the other corner of the infielder. You got Molina back. You got Wainwright back. It's you just look all in all, right? The Brewers, they slowly pieced it together, and they're taking off with it. Yeah, I think if you wait just a little bit longer, John Gant is that guy you want to be. Like Joe Kelly when he first got to the big leagues. Mm-hmm. Lance Lynn when he first got to the big leagues. Yeah. We know what the Cardinals produce when it comes to starting pitchers. The reputation is there.
Oh yeah.
I just think that this is a big mistake for them. This put them behind in a division they're going to lose, and there's no wild card spot because we know that those three spots, division and wild card, is going to be Giants, Dodgers, Padres, maybe mix up that order.
Yeah. And I kind of forgot what I was going to say. So, with the Brewers. Yeah, exactly. The Brewers are like, they've got that division, and the fact is they got better. When they signed Eduardo Escobar, that's who the White Sox had on their board. And almost instantaneously, the White Sox just went ahead and added Cesar Hernandez instead. So Eduardo Escobar gives them that lefty bat. And so, you know, I think, like you said, it's the Brewers division, and they just got better. While, you know, the Cardinals may have kind of regressed a bit.
I think they settled and they're going to regress.
Yeah.
So as far as John Lester goes, though, he was just okay in 2019, not effective in 2020. And also, when they say postseason experience, if you look at a guy with great postseason experience who's still active, but he's not great anymore, Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah. But so he does have multiple
years. If you say, hey, 2 years ago, great in the postseason, a lot different than 5 years ago.
Yeah, I agree. But I still feel like Bumgarner isn't the worst pitcher out there. And, like, Lester's had a better season than him, I think.
Well, I was just obviously just making that comparison as far as postseason experience.
Yeah.
Let's see. This one I actually think is another great problem to have, especially since the White Sox cheaped out. Now, Hansel Robles went to the Red Sox, which I thought the White Sox would re-sign him, put him a sub, man. They let him go to the Twins. But the White Sox, I'm not sure how they're going to do bullpen as far as setup man and closer, but they got Craig Kimbrell.
I mean, like you said, another good problem to have. The thing with having Hendricks, having Kopech for long relief, and now having Kimbrell, you could switch guys up when you need to, especially if you're in a deep playoff run. What if Hendricks gets used 2 games in a row? What if you don't want to use him 2 games in a row? You know, you could platoon him with Kimbrell.
And there's some guys that actually don't believe in that philosophy. Isn't that kind of funny? Me and you see it all the time. It's like, hey, Monday, Tuesday, Hendricks was in. Let's get him the off day. Hey, we got Kimbrell. Why not? Important game. Hey, let's do this.
And how many times have we seen it, particularly with the Dodgers, the years they didn't win the World Series, where they exhaust their entire bullpen. They have somebody blow a lead. They go into extra innings, and they're running out of arms, you know? If somebody's going to blow a lead, which I highly doubt because those guys are dang good, but it's always possible, you know, you have that extra guy to finish off the game no matter how long the game goes. So I know that's more of a National League problem, but I feel like, you know, that it's good to have guys who could pitch in high-leverage situations late in the game.
I think the Aussie and the Beard are going to take this one. Yeah. As far as, like, the best setup man and closer in the game, I think it would be those two by far. What do you think?
Absolutely. Kimbrough was the
not,
best.
Not even close.
Kimbrough was the best closer in the NL. Hendricks is the best closer in the AL. They're together. Watch out.
All right. So here was an odd one, and I'm pissed about this. Andrew Heaney coming to the Yankees, and for what, I don't know.
Ross Dent.
You've already heard the pain I've had. I think this is just another bargain bin move. We'll move on. Here's one.
I just say this on Heaney. You know, he hasn't had a good couple of years. He's a fly ball pitcher. I don't understand.
In New York.
And against
fly ball pitcher in New York. Why?
And against AL East teams who have just reloaded on power. Yeah. I mean, and to give up Ross Detmer for that, you know, basically for a 1-for-1 trade, I don't get it.
Yeah, I'm lost there. I think it was something to do with, I have no idea if it was like there was cash in that deal or something. But I mean, the fact that Hals has Brian Cashman skimping away small amounts of money, shaving it like cheese that's going on your burrito or your salad, it mind boggles me and infuriates me. I'm pissed off. And you saw the video about me talking about Joey Gallo and the pain that goes in me. Mm-hmm. It's just terrible.
Let's move on. More positive vibes elsewhere.
Okay. Are you okay with the Pirates getting Michael Chavis?
Chavis,
I'm sorry.
I think we got more than a lot of other people, including, you know, Red Sox front office, would have guessed. They got a lefty, Austin, I forgot his name.
Austin Davis.
You know, Chaim Bloom said he wants him on the major league roster right away. He's got good speed, could work on his command. He's a lefty arm, which they've needed. You know, we could have gotten nothing for Chavis. You know, we could have, you know, put him out on waivers. And we got something for him. It's not too crazy, but at least we got something for him. And who knows? This Austin Davis guy isn't a free agent until 2025. So,
So the thing is about Davis, command seems to be an issue. He has an ERA of 5.6 in 10 appearances this season, a 5.65 ERA over just under 72 career innings as a relief pitcher. But again, we remember when Boston didn't have a bullpen just a couple of years ago, and sure enough, you just take the time, have the starters go deep. And once you give the guy the confidence, it speaks huge. It speaks huge numbers. It really does.
And especially in Boston, you've seen what, they've been notorious for not being able to develop pitchers. Look at them now. You've got Jay Groom in the minors, Brian Motta, even though he got hurt. You've got, Garrett Whitlock, although he's with the Yankees, they've developed him pretty nicely. Connor Siebold's going to come up pretty soon. Tanner Houck, this is obviously they see something in this guy. Like I said, he's got the speed. Just needs to tweak a few things, and he could be a good guy for till 2025, all those years of control. I mean, for Chavis, I mean that feels like a steal, because Chavis hasn't been able to produce at the plate. Heck of a defender, you could put him anywhere around the field, but it just isn't happening as a hitter for him.
So here's a very interesting one. This was a guy traded with a lot of team control. He's still considered a prospect, kind of. I mean, this was the guy that they thought would replace George Springer. And listen, Houstonian fans, if you thought that George Springer was coming back, you were wrong. Because they weren't spending $100 million on him.
Especially Miles Straw, he had potential, but the main piece of their farm system was Kyle Tucker. And finally, Kyle Tucker has blossomed into the guy, that could obviously replace George Springer. Miles Straw, he's got the speed, he's got the defense, he just doesn't have as big of a bat, and bolster up the bullpen a little more.
As far as power, the ball is deafened. They deafened it during the COVID year last year. They kept it the same this year. As far as I'm concerned, when they say, "Oh, the guy needs power in his bat," listen, if he hits singles and occasionally a double, and he's batting in a 300 range, I'm honestly okay with that. Not everybody needs to be a power hitter. I would just let Miles be Miles. I just didn't expect that a guy who has team control through 2025 to get traded to the Indians.
Well, I just think that they value, that pitching right now than a bat, because you see, they've still got more guys in the minor leagues who aren't ready yet. Even for pitching, Forrest Whitley, they got him coming yet. So right now, you get another bullpen piece right now, and you can figure out the rest later, because more often than not, Houston can figure it out. They're amazing when it comes to prospecting in the farm system. So although he has a lot of years of control, I just think, they value that pitching more right now.
Yep. So here is the last one to end the segment today. And you know this was coming. Although everyone found it very hard to believe that Javi Baez, Anthony Rizzo, Craig Kimbrel, and now Chris Bryant being dealt all in the same deadline. Some people thought that one of them was going to stay or one of them was going to be just kind of, I guess you could say, just settled on value. But that was not the case, and we all knew it. Chris Bryant becomes a giant, and I think you could put this guy anywhere. Now, I think it's going to be very different at the home stadium because it's huge. The outfield is very huge, but he could play first base in case there's any reasonable doubt of Brandon Belt. Anything on third base, you could put him there. That's his main position. But on the road, in the outfield, at all three positions, you could put him. This is an absolutely great trade. They gave up a lot for him, including Joey Bart. The Cubs are going to love him in a year or two, I think.
They did not get Joey Bart.
They did not.
No, yeah, all the reporters screwed up and they ended up both deleting their tweet.
Ooh.
So then
Wow. Okay. What's going on with these reporters, man? They didn't get their shit together. Or one guy is just talking out of his rear end and is just giving out false information. What's with the fake news in baseball? It's like, oh, he failed his physical. Oh, they found something they didn't like. Oh, it needs to be finalized. Who is spreading fake news in MLB? And I want to know right now. There's been two of them now, and that's rare.
Yeah, so, the Cubs would have loved Joey Bart, but they're getting two, like, pretty good prospects, Alexander Canario and Caleb Killian. You know, one's a pitcher, one's an outfielder, I believe. And if you speak to Maddox, he's very high on both of them. You know, they weren't, like, top-of-the-line prospects. But for Chris Bryant, another guy who's going to be a free agent at the end of the year, I think it's good for the Giants. You know, like you said, he could play outfield. Obviously, he could play third, a little bit of first. I really don't see him playing first in the Giants uniform. You know, he could play third when he comes later this week. Evan Longoria will come back. He'll move to the outfield. And then in the meantime, Darren Ruff and Lamont Wade Jr., they'll keep platooning at first base. And then when Brandon Belt comes back, you move one of those guys to the outfield, most likely Lamont Jr. So, you know, it just gives them that much more flexibility. And they didn't give up a lot of prospects like a lot of people thought they would. So they save that for their future plans because they are an early team. They're an early bloomer. But it's a good trade. And I saw somebody say that, like, his splits against NL West teams and in Oracle Park, they aren't the best this year. But, hey, he's a former MVP, former Rookie of the Year, like a four-time All-Star. You get that for that prize, even if he doesn't resign this offseason. So I just think it's a good deal.
Also, I always put this in there too. If the guy's going to get $200 to $300 million in the offseason and you can't pay him, I can't pay him, the value might be a little different than what people say.
Yeah.
But all in all, can we go with winners and losers this trade deadline? Who do you got for winners? Who do you got for losers?
I think the definite winners are the White Sox, Brewers, and the Dodgers.
Okay.
I'm trying to think if there are any more.
I'm going to go with let's see. I'm just scrolling through, going through my notes. I think you got to put the Yankees as winners. Just simply because the prospects they gave up, their future was not in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Rule 5 guys they keep last minute, and then they pull them at the trade deadline. Same kind of guys that were traded for Zach Britton. If we go by the White Sox, they weren't flashy, but they retooled.
Yeah.
I would say the most definite losers, I guess that's the best way to put it. I got to put Phillies as definite losers because they should know what the hell they're doing right now. They're just extending their time where they're not going to succeed longer. I'm going to throw the Cardinals in there.
I put the Mariners because they didn't do anything.
You think the Mariners should have made a run?
No. I think the fact that they traded first, then they didn't follow up with anything. That even regressed them even more. They shouldn't have done anything. Just keep Graveman right now while you got a good thing going for you.
You know, I agree because the Angels, right? People are saying, what the hell are you trying to do? If you got something, like even if it's just a prospect for Heaney that you feel confident with and you have somebody to pull him in the rotation so you don't have to rely on him anymore. I mean, it's a smart move for the Angels not doing anything because right now, the Mariners have been exceptionally good out of nowhere. The Astros are good, and the Oakland A's are good. Mm-hmm. So for them to stay put, it was just a good respect the process. Not too much, I would say, losers here. I mean, I've thought about it. I really have. I've put some real good consideration. I mean, I thought about the Yankees losing this because of just keeping guys away because of a little bit of salary cap room and such. But the fact that you got Rizzo in there, it kind of makes up for a little bit.
Yeah, I think that if the Yankees are losers, it revolves around Andrew Heaney. You know,
you know what? I'm going to keep that neutral. I'll take it back. I'm going to go neutral on the Yankees. I don't consider them a winner or loser.
Yeah, that's a trade that, like I said before, it kind of like surprised me. It's like that's one guy I would not expect the Yankees to go after.
Well, also, if you remember, they had Vernon Wells on a team, and the Blue Jays and Angels paid that contract, so they had him on the team for nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was a good deadline for most people. I mean, we both agree, Phillies, you know, they could have done better. They could have done things differently.
They should have just done nothing.
Yeah, but I think even for, like, the Red Sox, we did very minimal. Most of the teams at this year's deadline, they got better to some extent. So
the Red Sox, it wasn't flashy like people thought it was going to be. Now, I had them as my pick of as getting Rich Rod. But, hey, you got yourself a couple of prospects. You got Schwarb taking over first base. And even though you're concerned about right field being huge, but at least the fence is very low because we know what happens when he hits one up in the air. Everyone goes, ah! All in all, I think the Red Sox did plenty.
Yeah.
And if you look at the bullpen's been better than a lot of years past. They've done exceptionally well. That's got to be considered to the point of people. The lineup is good. The pitching is good. Now it's just how good is it and can you keep it consistent? Can you stay hot when you need it? Can you be hot towards the end of the year? And as far as my concern is, the only team you have to worry about, CeCe, if I'm a Red Sox fan?
Tampa Bay.
It's Tampa, it's the Astros, and depending on how – if they get past the wild card round, the Oakland A's.
Yeah, I agree.
Everybody else I consider it a wash. The White Sox, I think the Red Sox are better than the White Sox on their good or bad day.
I think they could give them trouble.
You think so?
I think so. You got Luis Robert coming back later on. Eloy's back. You know, Cesar Hernandez fills that second base gap. And their bullpen, their pitching, their rotation too.
All right.
Like, they have good guys everywhere. They may not be like the best at one thing, but they're pretty good at pretty much everything.
All right. Last question before we take off. If we go towards the Mets, it is a win your division or bust mentality. Of course, everyone wants to win it all, but if they don't win their division, it's done. So if we go by how much the Braves upgraded, and if we look at all the guys that the Mets have on the injured list, Lindor with a very tricky oblique injury, Jacob DeGrom got set back, and he's not going to be thrown for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Carlos Carrasco, you're putting a lot of pressure on him. Taiwan Walker has kind of he's kind of in a slump. I think he'll be out of it. And Noah Syndergaard, not only you're not going to expect him until around Labor Day, but if you go by him in the starting rotation, before he got hurt, here's what happened with him. He can't throw inside anymore. He's only a two-pitch pitcher. Third time through the lineup is a liability. He throws a fastball-slider combo, and he's got to try and throw it for 90 to 100 pitches.
Mm.
And plus with the way that his injury history looks, listen, great pitcher, great guy. But if I'm the Mets, I'm going to try and put this guy in the bullpen because right now they need relief pitching consistently. And Noah Syndergaard, I said this at the beginning of the year, if this guy could close, he could do a damn good job doing it because Edwin Diaz is too inconsistent. Same with Seth Lugo.
Yeah, I agree. I don't have much else to add on that. You got Stroman too. He's kind of picked up some of the load, but, you know, could he stay healthy? And can he pitch consistently? I can't talk right now. I'm sorry. It's division or bust for the Mets.
And the starting rotation, even with the Grom coming back, you're still wondering what these guys are going to do because right now it's like, okay, we got Stroman, we got Walker, and another guy that's constantly being DFA'd who's doing well for you and deserves more respect. I mean, what are you going to do, man? I mean, what are we going to do, call Bruce Pounders again? But by the way, I'm sorry, but I've said this for a long time. I've never met a tiny guy named Bruce before. And I would hate to be a big guy with the last name Pounders.
Yeah, tough luck.
That's the same thing with the Astros relief pitcher with the last name Scrub. You got to be a big guy, and you've got to be tough mentally with the last name Scrub.
Yeah,
tough. And I think that's the best way to end it. Thank you, everybody. Chris, final thoughts.
You know, like I said before, everybody got a little better, except for maybe a couple of teams. Should be a fun race to October, and I look forward to it.
And we'll probably go an article about this. I'm going to try and type one up about the winners and losers of this deadline. Everybody, thank you very much. This is the Trade Deadline Review. This is Chris Correa. This is AJ Torres calling strikes on Undrafted Sports down and below. And we will see you next time around. You've all been great. Thank you.